We are told at the beginning of John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. Right away we have a sense of this great intimacy, this connection between God and Father and Father and Son, that the Word of God is God's Word, God's entire being made flesh, coming into our lives of one like us to bring us salvation and peace. In the beginning of Jesus' ministry, there were signs. John doesn't use miracles, he uses signs, because miracles have sort of a magical connotation or are very limited. Signs, though, are revelations. They point, they direct, they guide us. In the beginning, Jesus devotes himself to satisfying the thirst of his fellow wedding guests. And at the end of his life on earth, it is Jesus who identifies himself as the bridegroom, who cries out from the cross, "I thirst." And in both places, Jesus has revealed the glory of the Father, the glory of the one who sent him. As he comes in and does these signs, he reveals God's great love, God's mercy, God's passion upon all men and women. At the end, he reveals God's great plan of salvation in the suffering, death, and resurrection. And the glory of Jesus Christ is the salvation of men and women fully alive. Divine glory appears in the very communication of goodness, the goodness of God. And within the incarnation of Jesus Christ, we understand the glory of God the Father to be nothing less than his holiness and the holiness of all creation. That all things that God has made are good, and all things that God has made reflect for us God's goodness and our fellowship with God and the care and the compassion that God has upon all creation. God continues to overwhelm and pour out his goodness upon everything. That's probably why in the sacraments we use very, very basic elements to convey something very wonderful, something very hidden, something deeper that we cannot always perceive. In simple bread and wine, as consecrated by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Oil is used to anoint the hands and the forehead of those who are sick or ill or ailing. God's healing power lifts people up out of their lowliness. And that same oil is used to be placed on the hands of a priest, to know that they now have fellowship with Jesus Christ, the high priest, and they now confect the sacraments. Men and women come together in the sacrament of marriage, and by their bodies, they convey their love for one another. They give themselves fully to the other through their very being, through their entire selves, mind, body, and soul. They give themselves over to the other one in love and passion. How awesome that is. And in all the sacraments, the imposition of hands, the touch, the feel, the oil, the water, all of these show us the glory of God the Father, help us understand a deeper way that we live with God the Father in heaven. Mary is presented today as a model of discipleship, perhaps because in the whole scripture, Mary gets it right from the very beginning. She is shown to be the person who understands the workings of God. She understands the placement of God's love, his mercy in our lives, how God lifts us up out of our lowliness, how God touches our hearts and our lives, restores us the fullness of grace and peace, fullness of life. She understands this. So when she is asked to be the mother of God, her response is an unconditional yes. Let it be done to me according to your word. And she is a disciple. In the role of disciple, she has three things in mind for each and every one of us, as we see in the gospel. One is that Jesus has the waiters fill the jars with water. It's an action. And the action uses matter, these stone jars and water, and they become for us something very sacred, a moment of encounter of God's love and God's goodness. That's like the sacraments that we celebrate as well. The sacraments are these sacramental signs. We have matter, bread and wine, oil, all those things that we talk about. That these are the things and the ways that convey something very sacred, very, very holy. And there's actions that go with those sacraments as well. And the sacraments guide us along the paths of righteousness. When we receive bread and wine at Mass, it's the body and blood of Jesus Christ. When we are forgiven of our sins, we hear the words of absolution, and the priest imposes hands over our head. the idea, the understanding, the recognition that through these moments, through these sacred moments, that there's something more. There's something much greater than what we see. It's unfolded for us, God's love for each and every one of us through the sacraments. Outward signs instituted by Christ in order to give grace. That old definition of the sacrament that we all know and love, well, that still is very valid for us today. And to be sure, we encounter God through Jesus Christ, through the sacraments, through these moments of Jesus Christ as well. Then Jesus tells the head waiter, draw some out. The idea of drawing out is so very, very important for us as well. The head waiter is overwhelmed by water changing to the wine. And all of us, though, when we draw deeper into our lives, when we draw down into the depths of the wells and the fonts, then we pull out something very wonderful, something very awesome. Because so often we try to live our faith, we try to live our lives sort of on the surface level. Sometimes we don't go farther into our lives or our relationships or any of the things that go on around us deeper than the finger bowl. And that's sort of the difficulty that we have in our world today. Think of the woman at the well who keeps going back to the same source that gives her satisfaction and happiness. It's not until Jesus points out what the problem is. She can't understand why she's so sad, why she's so lonely, why the other women in the town don't want to draw water with her. And suddenly Jesus reminds her, gives this aha moment. Maybe it's because you've had five husbands and the man you're living with now is not your husband. Maybe because you tried to go back to the same sources that seem to bring you satisfaction, but they're dead ends, they're empty. It's like eating lots of cotton candy. It's never going to fill you up. You need to transform your life. You need to maybe make a different destination of your search. Living water. Come to the living water. Come to the source of holiness, the source of peace and reconciliation. Reform your life. Change your life. The idea of depth. And sometimes we do that same thing. We wonder why we keep pounding our head into the wall or keep tripping over ourselves or one another. Maybe we need to look deeper into our world, into our lives, into our relationships. What's the problem, the difficulty, and where do we find the solace? We find in the gifts and the goodness that God has bestowed upon us, the holiness that's already ours, the holiness that exists around us. That's where we find answers. Draw deep into the well, the font of our Lord Jesus Christ, because the one who asks for a drink might very well be the source of living water. If we live only on the surface, we can never discover the depth of God's love, the dignity and the integrity that our lives have and the lives of those around us. We sometimes too easily fall and settle for false conclusions about faith and life and all matter around us. Seek the truth, Jesus reminds us. And finally, we take that wine made water. Jesus demands that the waiter takes it to the head waiter, an act of charity. Because when we come here today celebrating the Eucharist, it's a thanksgiving. We are thankful and we praise and glorify God for all that God has given us. At the end of the liturgy today, we're not just told to go home and stay warm, it's cold outside today, but rather go forth and proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take what we have received here. Because we gather together as a broken people, we gather together as a sinful people, realizing that sometimes we act like frumps and nabobs, but we realize how much we are loved and how much God cares for us. We come to understand in this place, in this space, the intensity of God's love, the intensity of God's mercy. And we walk together as a people of faith, walk with each other, and we walk for each other. We walk as a people of God, seeking out truth and understanding and beauty. And we see that and we recognize that as we bring bread and wine to the altar, it becomes for us the body and blood of our Lord and Savior. And like bread and wine, we are hopefully transformed into something good. And we want to share that goodness with one another. Each and every one of us, as St. Paul reminds us today, has different talents and different gifts. We are called to bless those gifts and talents, to thank God for those gifts and talents, and share them with the church, and share them with the world around us. We live in a space today where many folks have run out of wine, a culture with so much sin and confusion. But like Mary, the faithful disciple, we should point to Jesus and declare to ourselves and one another, do whatever he tells you. Even more so, the disciple of Jesus Christ must recognize the opportunities to share the divine love that they have received. It's not enough simply to place one's faith in the Son of God or enjoy a personal confidence in the Spirit that comes from belief. Faithful disciples must let the love of God the Father help us draw deeply from what we have received to be transformed, to live a life of conversion and discipleship, and enjoy the festivities of the wedding. So attending to each other in charity, through service and love and mercy, we celebrate, and we celebrate our faith can even grow stronger. Amen.